Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Frontiers, the journey of two surgeons through stroke, is the memoir of a stroke survivor. A general surgeon, Dr. Siwa Murugappan, and his wife and ENT surgeon, Dr. Prima Sammy. It's a story of recovery with challenges, a story of hope and perseverance in fighting to get back to his life as a surgeon. Dr. Murugappan is a general surgeon in Chatham, Ontario, Canada, and his wife, Dr. Sammy, a surgeon in that same hospital. Their book, Frontiers, The Journey of Two Surgeons Through Stroke, was awarded the ReaderView's Reader's Choice Award Bronze Award for Health and Fitness for 2023-2024. And Dr. Murugappan and Dr. Sammy joining us on This Week in America. Doctors, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. What a remarkable story. And let's go back and talk about, Doctor, the toughest part for you in this journey. And let's start with how this began. You were healthy. You had just finished a few months before climbing a mountain in Tibet. You're in surgery when this happens. Tell us how this all began and what the journey has been like for you.
Sure. The day was 27th of September, 2017. Around 4 p.m. in the evening. The previous day, I was on call, and it was a sleepless night. So I was tired, and the next day, I had endoscopy the whole day. And at 4 o'clock, I finished endoscopy, and I was looking forward to going home for a supper. But it was a blessing in disguise that I got a call from the ER stating that they had admitted the previous night a lady with an abscess in her leg, and they were asking me whether I can go and see her. So I did. I went up to the medical floor, saw the patient, and she indeed had an abscess, and I was getting ready to do an incision and drainage procedure on her under local anesthesia by the bedside. I had given her the local anesthesia, and I was just about to incise when I felt something move inside my head from the left to the right side. And the next thing I knew was both the legs buckled and I couldn't stand. So I held on to the tray, which had all the surgical instruments, and they are all stainless steel. And all of them fell down and they created a big ruckus. So everyone around there came into the room to see what is going on. The nurse who was in front of me, she was quite smart. She realized that I was having a stroke and she pushed a chair so that I could fall into the chair. That was great. And yes. Then she went and got the other nurses from the nursing station and they put me on a stretcher and took me to the ER. And I received my clot-busting agent called TPA within 20 minutes of my stroke. I was very, very lucky to have been in the hospital when the stroke happened. If not, the same time would have been, I would have been driving back home and things would have gone really worry.
Yeah, amazing the way things worked out. And Dr. Sammy, when you get the call that your husband has had a stroke, you've seen him, he's in good health. Like I say, a few months before he's climbing mountains, you get the word that he's had a stroke. What was your initial response when you got that word?
Yeah, I was in my office actually finishing up my dictations for the day and I get a call. My colleague who works in the emergency room that day calls and said, Prima, where are you? I said, I'm in my office. Well, we have Siva here and he's had a stroke. And it's difficult to describe, but you don't think this can happen to you, right? And you keep...
Yes.
So I just dropped everything and ran to my secretary's room and said... I started crying, of course, and then all the way to the emergency room, I'm saying this can't be happening, this can't be happening. But it did happen, yeah. So, how I felt.
And you talk about that so honestly, that this journey that you were on, it happened, you faced the reality, and you got through the reality together. The book is Frontiers. The Journey of Two Surgeons Through Stroke. The book is available wherever books are sold. Their website is frontierstroke.com. We've got links for all of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. I would direct you to their website, very simple, frontierstroke.com. I started asking about the hardest part, Doctor, for you. What? And I hate to say the hardest part because I'm sure there were a number of parts, so it's plural, not singular. But what were some of the difficult parts that you had to go through, including facing the fact that you were a surgeon and really there was no textbook to follow to get back into surgery again? Was that one of the most difficult challenges for you?
The most difficult challenge was my emotional part of it. It's unbelievable how emotional one can get, and you are helpless, actually. Luckily, I had a good wife who was counseling me all the time, and I got through the emotional component. It's very easy for somebody to just slide down the hill due to this emotional component. The physical therapy, of course, it is difficult, but then there is a set, structured program which you just have to follow and the system carries you. But the emotional part is all about you and how you can handle your mental capabilities.
And
I should say my dog was a great therapy.
I love that. Aren't they comforting to have? They really don't know what's going on, but they're there to comfort you through everything. And Dr. Sammy, from your standpoint, you're there to give your husband comfort as he goes through this, emotional support, and you're going through a lot of emotions as well. What was that like, being there, the care giver, and looking out for your own emotions as well?
Well, in the beginning, it was like things were moving fast. So it's like, you know, you're just following the recommendations and whatnot. But that first day when he was in ICU, my thoughts were just racing, right? Oh, my God, is he going to get better? Do we need a full-time caregiver? Should I take a leave of absence? What about all his patients? Do we have to let go our administrative staff? Our finances, okay? You know, it was nonstop thoughts, right? Then I kind of realized that, no, I have to take it one day at a time because I will go nuts if I keep this thought pattern, right? So that's what I did. I took it one day at a time, focused on what I needed to do every day, and was prepared for the next steps. And that, I think, is key. Like, if you think too far ahead,
yes.
the commonest thing we heard from the healthcare providers is we don't know because every person is different, every stroke is different, we don't know. So they don't give you any prognostic indicators, so you have to just take it one day at a time. Yeah,
that's why this book is so valuable, because you approach it from both of your viewpoints. Both of you in this together, both of you are medical people, so you have an understanding as to what's happening. It's a very unique perspective. It's why the book's an award winner and it's doing so well. Frontiers, the Journey of Two Surgeons Through Stroke. The website is frontierstroke.com. Dr. Siva, let's go back and talk about the decision you made. I'm getting back into surgery. And that became sort of what the new mountain that you were trying to climb, wasn't it? Because I don't think you have too many people saying, yeah, you can do this, no problem.
Well, nobody told me that I can do this. Everybody told me, just retire, Siva, you know. But surgeon is what I am. And I always dreamt of retirement as being a surgeon and doing voluntary service in all the third world countries as much as possible until I die. And this stroke kind of put it down. So I was bent upon getting back to being a surgeon with a full license. And that's what got me going.
And that's interesting. You just don't say, I think I'm ready to go back into surgery. You've got a licensing procedure you have to go through, probably unprecedented or certainly not many cases of this. What was that like getting back to the point to getting your license?
Whoa, I don't know how to describe it. It is,
I call it his Everest. It is
exactly,
Everest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You know what? it doesn't come easy. You want freedom, it doesn't come easy. You got to
fight for it.
Dr. Yeah. Sammy, you went so far as to build what this physical sort of simulating the surgical procedure to help him. Talk about that. You talk about going that extra mile to get something set up to make this dream possible. You did that. Talk about what went into that.
Well, when we decided from advice from a senior colleague in the university, said, Siva, if you really want to go back, you can, but it's a long journey, right? So that was his decision. They're not just going to throw the red carpet and say, okay, come on, boy, let's get started. It's like you have to prove to the colleagues who are going to be your supervisors that you are safe to, you know, perform surgeries again. You have to prove to the college, which protects the public, that you are safe. So before that process even started, I kept telling Siva, you need to practice on simulators and stuff. So the university closest to us is about an hour and a half drive. They do have a surgical skills lab. So we first went there. Of course, there's a cost. It was like $250 every time we used the lab, and it's like a 3-hour drive back and forth. It was tiring. So I thought, why not I create something? Because I saw the models and I said, I can recreate this at home. And so it was funny. And I would walk through the store, Walmart. I'm not looking for anything specific, but when I saw it, I knew what I needed to make this happen.
Yes.
And I found this carrier, which I think people put their cats in and carry it. And it had a plastic window. So I created two holes in that. I bought these surgical instruments. I bought an over-top portable camera, hooked it up to our laptop. So I kind of simulated what you would do during laparoscopy. So you can use this through those windows and see it on a screen in your laptop. And yeah, it was like a science project.
Well, it really was, and it's amazing, and it worked. We're talking about the book Frontiers, The Journey of Two Surgeons Through Stroke by our guest on the program, Dr. Siva Murukappa, and his wife, Dr. Prema Sammy. The book available wherever books are sold. I will send you to their website, frontierstroke.com. Dr. Siva, I want to go back. I didn't want to pass over that quickly, that you decided you want to be a surgeon again. You went back and you did it. And boy, you had ups and downs and struggles. You have to get the body working, you're in charge of somebody's health in performing surgery. What was that like, especially getting through the low points? Were there ever thoughts that you had, maybe everybody's right, they're telling me I can't do this, maybe I can't do this?
Well, that's interesting you asked me that question, because everybody is looking at you to see whether you can perform or not. So you feel like as though you are under a microscope.
Yes.
The more I am under a microscope, the more my energy to prove that I can do it. So it was like a reverse feedback mechanism where it encouraged me rather than discouraged me.
But I feel nobody looks good under a microscope. So that is the tough part. You are a very experienced general surgeon, hit by a stroke. You mostly cognitively 100%. He was okayed. It's just he has a residual weakness in his left hand, but he compensates well. So it's basically a different body biomechanics. But when people see somebody with those disabilities, they look at you differently, right?
Yes.
They think because of that, you can't do what you could do, you know? Yeah. So it's hard to be scrutinized like that.
The book is called Frontiers, The Journey of Two Surgeons Through Stroke, and it's interesting. I'm reading this and how faith plays a big part in what you went through, the recovery process. Faith in the sense that we usually know it, but faith in each other and how you leaned on each other to get through this. Talk about the aspect of faith and how important that was, a crucial element in getting you back into the operating room and thriving again.
Faith is so very important. It is like an anchor. from which you can go forward, you see. And my wife was there for me. Whenever I'm slightly down, I'll call her and we'll have a chat. And after that, I'm motivated. That's it.
Yeah. For me, I mean, as a caregiver, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, the challenges of the reassessment, it was an emotional roller coaster because, you know, your colleagues who are sometimes they don't understand the process, they can be hard on you, they disappoint you, they frustrate you. There's a lot of emotions, right? So, and I'm trying to support him. And he was fearless. He was a very good surgeon. And suddenly his confidence is like shaken, you know. And I'm trying to support him, but I'm going through the same emotions. And I found actually prayer helped me a lot. Like I became more devout and continue to be until today, which I was never before this. So I wouldn't say I found God. I always believed in God, but I believe so much more in prayer and faith and spiritual music. It was my outlet to get, you know, calm.
Yes.
Yeah, through that storm.
You
yeah.
cover all of those elements so well. You read some memoirs on stroke and it's what they went through, and that's an inspiring story, but yours takes it to a different level. We see the different levels of emotion and what each of you went through. Dr. Siva, was there a point in the stroke journey where you thought, I am going to come back? It's not just a dream anymore. I can actually do this. Did you reach that point at any certain level of your recovery?
Yeah. When I was in the rehab unit, that was about a month after my stroke, when I was able to take my first step with a walking aid and with a lot of help with the physiotherapist, I knew then, oh, yeah, this is, I can do this. And then one fine day when I was able to lift my left upper limb up above my head, that was another motivation. So I told myself, yeah, this is doable, and I kept at it.
And got through that and back in surgery now. And let's jump ahead and let's talk about that for a second. How are you doing now? You're back doing what you've always wanted to do. What is this like returning to being a surgeon and saving lives?
It's actually you're more aware of what you're going to do, what you're telling the patients, and then what it really means to the patients to have surgery. You're more aware of every small detail. That's what I would say this stroke has made me realize. And I spend a lot of time with the patients, explaining things, not from a statistical point of view, but from just their single person problem, if you get that point.
Yes. I know you're concerned now, and not concerned, but you really want to take this message out to the public, and you decided to write this book. It's a very candid book. Everything that the two of you have gone through together as co-workers, as fellow surgeons, as husband and wife, and what this has done to that relationship and that support has been so crucial. Why did you decide to write the book? What was the impetus for writing Frontiers, The Journey of Two Surgeons Through Stroke?
Well, when Siva was on the rehab unit, I, of course, after work, I spent a lot of time there. And they do have a small library there, which I, you know, chanced upon. And I found a book by Kirk Douglas, actually, My Stroke of Luck, which is a quick read. And I read that and And that's when the idea was conceived. And I said, maybe we should write a book. And then I, of course, I'm the woman of action. I immediately got him a dictaphone, got him, Siva, you should record everything you feel so we can journal it and then we can write a book. Of course, he didn't do any of that. No, he was not in the frame of mind. And so then we went through the motions of getting home and all that. And about a year after the stroke, when our journey, like considering how to get him back to the pathway of return to work, that's when we were also going through a lot of emotions. I found a friend of a friend who's a writer who started as our ghostwriter. And we started telling her everything about what happened first, but also about what was happening at that time. And those sessions were amazing. It was like therapy for yes. emptying your emotions. But the goal of the book was to inspire others. But I think it helped us so much too. And of course, with the pandemic, this lady couldn't finish the book. So I and my daughter-in-law actually completed the book. Yeah.
Dr. Safi, I know what you were obviously going through in the beginning. It's easier to talk about it rather than put it in paragraphs, isn't it? It's so much easier to sit yeah. and to talk about what you went through. How has this changed your outlook on life? The fact that, especially going back and reliving these moments as you're writing this book, has it changed your perspective on life?
I think I have developed a lot more patience now. I find myself being very patient in the midst of chaos. I wasn't like that before. I used to get really worked up very fast. Now, patience. This stroke recovery has been a long process. And that is what it has really made me into now, presently. It is patience for everything, every single aspect.
Has it made you, in a sense, a better doctor, do you think?
I think so.
It's an amazing perspective, what you've gone through. And Dr. Prema, from your standpoint, what has this meant for you? And has this changed your outlook on life? You have a husband and things are thriving and you think life is going along. And all of a sudden, you've got this major hurdle in front of you. What's this done for your outlook?
Well, it certainly rocks your world, and then sometimes what you do before that, and I was always like, I love to read books which are motivational, inspirational, and spiritual. I think all that prepared me for this time, and so I think I found strength within myself to go through it. And we have come out the other end better, but I think, you know, we look at the world quite differently now in terms of, you know, who are the true angels in your life, true friendships, you know, like family, supporting each other. So those things are a lot more clearer to us, you know. You can have a lot of acquaintances, but the people who are really people you cherish in your life are few. Yeah. Well,
yes. Dr. Safi, just a minute or so left in the program. People going through rehabilitation, and that is so difficult physically as well as mentally. What advice would you give them? Because it wasn't totally smooth sailing for you, was it? You had the ups and downs and the self-doubt. What advice would you give to someone going through that? Maybe they don't want to return into the operating room. They just want to be able to have a fairly functionable life in front of them.
Yes, that should be the ultimate goal, just to be able to self-care for themselves. So I would just say that every stroke survivor has a very good chance to recover fully. Believe in that and keep moving. That's the most important thing. Keep moving, no matter what. If you can't move, get somebody to just move the limbs for you. And the other thing, try to get upright. This upright posture somehow corrects every other system in your body and things start working. So what it means is don't just keep lying down in your bed. Get up. Be upright.
Great advice.
Even if it means with the help of somebody holding you.
Get upright. That's good advice for all of us out there. And certainly, you don't really think about that as playing a positive role in your recovery, and it did. Dr. Prema, from your standpoint, what would you say to the care providers? What would you give them? Because I'm sure there are times of doubts. Maybe you're dealing with resentment, anger sometimes. You go through all of those honest emotions. What advice would you give someone who is in your position?
In the early parts, just take it one day at a time. And then when you go through those challenges emotionally, you know, seek out good friendships and open up. Don't bottle it in. Find avenues, like for me, it was prayer, music. I started painting. Those are the releases you help you to get through that. And like, it can put strain on relationships. Like, he was so focused on his goals, and I'm just there supporting. And sometimes it's tiresome, and it, you know, it's like, it's, you feel it's almost selfish. So it puts a strain on our marriage, but we got therapy for that too. And it was during the pandemic, we did that online, you know, so get the help you need, because you, it's hard to struggle alone. It's a lot for both the stroke survivor and the partner.
So you acknowledge those feelings and you deal with them. And that's exactly what you did. The story comes to life so well in Frontiers, The Journey of Two Surgeons Through Stroke, by our guest on the program, Dr. Siva Margopan, and his wife, Dr. Prema Sami. The book is available wherever books are sold. Website is very simple, and good information there as well, frontierstroke.com. I'd like to thank litprime.com for arranging our conversation with the doctors today on the program. And I will remind you that all of this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you hit click the link for frontierstroke.com. It will take you right there to get information and to order the book as well. Doctors, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Doctor, congratulations to you getting back in the doing surgery, performing the life-saving work you're doing. And Dr. Prema, thank you. Congratulations on being there, on helping him get back there. What a remarkable story, the two of you working together. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you for the opportunity, Rick.
It has been our pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
It has been our pleasure. And the book, once again, Frontiers, The Journey of Two Surgeons Through Stroke, book available wherever books are sold, including their website, frontierstroke.com. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.